me by coming up to read today's Bible passage, which is Psalm 124. I've got it here on a sheet, and it'll come up on the screen. So who would like to help me with that? Claire was the first hand I saw, although I also had a willing volunteer there. So thank you very much for being willing to do that. Thank you, Claire.
If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Thank you very much, Claire. Thank you. That's great. Let's just pray. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living and active, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Please help us as we look at it together this morning. May your Holy Spirit guide us, teach us, challenge us, and encourage us, that we might be a faithful pilgrim people, thoroughly equipped for every good work, to the glory of your name. Amen. So, question to kick off with, where do you stand on the subject of help? Help is the theme of our sermon today, and it's the second in our series from Eugene Peterson's book on discipleship, which is entitled A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. When it comes to help, are you more Beatles or Bible? It was and still is a popular number, that Beatles song. It was number one for 3 weeks in the charts back in the summer of 1965. Now, I had to do my research on that because I'm far too young to remember. But Johnny might just about remember that if his crib had been placed near the radio. It has a catchy tune and a simple message. I used to think that I didn't need help. Now I realize that I do. Please, will you help me? Now, I'm not sure if Psalm 124 ever made it to number one in the worship charts of ancient Israel, but we do know that it was categorized in the Pilgrim's top 15, so to speak. Written not by Lennon and McCartney, but rather by King David, Psalm 124 was one of the 15 psalms that God's people recited and sang on their regular pilgrimages to Jerusalem as they journeyed to the city in order to celebrate the Jewish religious festivals. And we don't know the tune, of course, but thankfully, not only for the sake of the Jewish people, but also for our sake today, the words have been preserved throughout the centuries. And just like the Beatles song, this song, Psalm 124, also has a simple core message, which my clicker is not revealing. So, Peter, I'm going to need to go to you, please. Can we go down? Oh, we're going the other way. That's the Beatles one. One more. Here we go. So that is the simple core message of Psalm 124. The Lord of creation is our help. Because he is for us, he has saved us. Let's praise him. Now, these two songs from the Beatles and from the Bible present us with two approaches to the idea of help. And in a minute, we're going to go on and examine Psalm 124 in a bit more detail. But before we do that, Let's look briefly at three key differences between the two songs that it's worth us noting here right at the start, because they're differences that perhaps reflect the spirit of the age, perhaps reflect differences in the spiritual perspectives of the authors, but they may perhaps even be differences that reflect the state of our own hearts, even at different times. For some reason, the slides are jumping about all over the place. Not sure why, but there we go. Okay. So the thing to note is that the Beatles song Help gives no indication as to whom the plea for help is addressed. We know that it's somebody, not just anybody, who's needed, but there's no mention of God. It's a plea to a person seemingly unknown. Psalm 124, by contrast, however, makes it clear right from the beginning, and it reaffirms it in the middle and repeats it at the end, that it is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who is the central character. Secondly, despite the fact that the Beatles are a group, the voice used in their song Help is that of I and me. The pronouns used are singular pronouns. The author, it seems, is perhaps on their own. Psalm 124, however, although penned by a single author, King David, uses the plural pronouns we, us, and our. Because the perspective taken, the memories recalled, and the affirmation stated are that of the whole Israelite community, not just one individual. Thirdly, the exclamation mark in the title of the Beatles song makes it clear that theirs is a cry for help. The chorus asks, "Won't you please, please help me?" The cry goes out. The question is posed, but the answer and the outcome are uncertain. Psalm 124, on the other hand, states an affirmation. The evidence is sure. Of this there can be no doubt. The Lord has helped, the Lord is helping, and the Lord will help. So where do you stand on help? Are you more Beatles? An individual crying out for help, not quite sure as to whether somebody or anybody even might be out there to come to your aid? Or the Bible? A member of God's pilgrim community, looking back at the help you've seen the Lord provide in the past and knowing that you can count on him for the present and the future. Be good to look a bit more together at the psalm now. The psalms in general are pretty honest in their approach, aren't they, and their outlook. And one of the striking features of this psalm is its rawness. One commentator states what you can see up there on the screen. If the psalms came in a scratch and sniff version, this passage would reek of sweat and blood. It's a psalm that makes no secret of the dangers involved for those seeking to be pilgrims of faith and not just tourists of religion. It's not sugar-coated discipleship that is portrayed here. The long walk of obedience in the same direction may occasionally bring delight, but it certainly brings danger. Let's have a look at the language employed by the psalmist to describe the threats posed to the people of Israel. That's highlighted there on the screen. Attacked us, swallowed us alive, anger flared against us, engulfed us, raging waters, torrent swept over us, swept us away. The life of God's people is hazardous, potentially dire even. Because being a pilgrim is not a bundle of laughs. It never has been, and it never will be. But yet, despite the devastation that could have happened to Israel, this psalm tells us that it did not. Why is that? Because the Lord was on their side. because the Lord was on their side. In the Message translation of the psalm, Eugene Peterson expresses the phrase that's repeated there in verses 1 and 2 slightly differently. He says, if God hadn't been for us. You may remember that song that was really popular during lockdown, the blessing, he is for you, he is for you. This psalm presents what pastor and writer Ian Stackhouse calls the most significant gospel truth of all, i.e. that no matter the nature of the dangers, struggles and difficulties faced, the Lord is for his people. He is on their side. He is their help in times of trouble. And boy, do we need to know that right now. Things are not easy. Whether it's COVID, the economy, relationships, you may feel in danger of being overwhelmed. You may feel under attack. It might be the case that issues from the past are still rearing their ugly heads or baring their teeth at you. This is, both for ourselves and for our world, a time of trouble, and we need the Lord's help. Thankfully, the testimony of this psalm is that amidst these troubles, God is there for his people. He's not gone off and left them, and he will not leave them. He's on their side and by their side. But it is important to say at this point, however, that the wider testimony of Scripture is not that God is universally on the side of everyone. A just and a loving God does not embrace sin or sinful behavior. God is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger. He is rich in love. But for those people who set themselves up as enemies to God, who refuse his call on their lives and turn their back, choosing not to walk the long walk of obedience, but to follow the shorter, wider path of rebellion, the Bible says they incur his wrath and his judgment. And that sounds unpopular, doesn't it? Particularly in our all-inclusive, pluralistic age. But if that is you here this morning, don't just dismiss it. Don't overlook it. Don't waver it away, try to ignore it. Do something about it. Admit your rebellion to God and ask for his forgiveness, because if you do, you can be sure he'll be there for you and will welcome you into his arms, because it's sin that God is against, not people per se. Next thing for us to note from this psalm is that God's help is not a private experience. It is corporate reality, not an exception that occurs amongst isolated strangers, but the norm among the people of God. And this is the plural we, us, and our of the psalm. This is the experience of Jesus' disciples together following, serving alongside the Savior and one another, looking to the Lord for his help, but needing one another too. And at this point, it would be good for us to take a step back from the psalm and again consider the backdrop of Scripture as a whole. Because whilst the Bible is clear that it is the Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, who himself is our ever-present help in time of trouble, and that is Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is the only Savior and Lord, Scripture also makes it clear that amazingly, miraculously even, God chooses to use us. He chooses to use his people to help him accomplish his purposes. And so we, the church, collectively are the body of Christ. And every one of us has a role and a purpose to play in helping to build up the body under the headship of Christ. This is what Baptists call every member ministry. Whilst our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord also chooses and calls us to help him and to help one another. And so therefore the Lord's help functions in more than just one direction. The Lord does help us directly, and he also helps us through the help of those around us. And I believe God wants to challenge us in this, not only as a society, but also as a church. Because some amongst us have clearly grasped this, but others perhaps not. Perhaps we've been tricked easily by the lies of our individualistic, meritocratic society into believing that to ask for help from others portrays weakness. We should be able to manage on our own, shouldn't we? We should be able to cope. We should be self-sufficient. We should be self-reliant. We shouldn't have to bother others or risk being a burden to them. Do you ever think like that? I know that sometimes I certainly do. But to be honest, it's poppycock. It's poppycock, or something perhaps even stronger than that, that I can't possibly say. Autonomy, independence, self-sufficiency is what the world preaches. But it isn't what Scripture advocates. It wasn't the testimony of the early church, and it shouldn't be the testimony of the church today. A word of encouragement I want to share with you. There are many of you, as I look out here this morning, either sat in front of me or I know amongst those connecting on Zoom as well, who are so extremely generous in offering and in giving help to others. And the reason I know that is not only because I hear about it, it's because I experience it. And I've experienced it several times in this past week. I've had a young man approach me offering his help on a Sunday morning with both our tech needs and with the children's work. If he's listening, he knows who he is. I've had a kind lady help me by looking after Faith while I had an appointment and Darla was at work. I've had another parent rearrange her work schedule in order to pick Emmanuel up from school and take her to another activity when our usual form of help wasn't available because they tested positive for COVID. Those are just three examples from this week alone. And I know that I and many of us experience God's help through you each and every week in prayer, as well as in practical help and service. There really are many in our fellowship who have the gift of help, who rejoice in that and who express it, using that gift to bless others. And I just want to say thank you to you for that. It really is a blessing. I need it. We corporately need it. And through your help, we experience and we receive the Lord's help. Now, not everyone is, of course, in a position to be able to help others in this way. The point that I'm making is not that many at NMBC are great at helping while others need to step up and do more. That's not it. To serve God by helping others is a great blessing, but it's not the main challenge. The main challenge that I believe God has for us is to recognize and to admit that we all need help, each and every one of us. Because although there are many amongst us who are very willing to offer and to give help, perhaps, just perhaps, we're sometimes reluctant to ask for it or to receive it. Now, if you recognize yourself perhaps as one of these people, ask yourself, why is that? Because it isn't God's plan for you. And it isn't his blueprint for us as God's people. Perhaps some of the reluctance we experience in asking for or receiving help can be blamed on society. I used to be a school teacher, as many of you know, and maybe this starts in school. We all get told, don't we, to do our own work, that we must become independent learners. And to a certain degree, of course, that's right. Because none of us would want to advocate plagiarism or to encourage the kind of dependency that's harmful for growth. But what about the kind of mutual dependency that's helpful for growth? A dependency on God's help and on God's people mutually helping one another. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He can move mountains. He can calm the storm. He can protect us in the fiery furnace. We cannot save ourselves. And he can also help us through the faithful and loving care of our fellow pilgrims. And sometimes we need to ask not only him, but also those around us for help. It takes a whole village to raise a child, the African proverb says. And as God's children, we need one another to help raise us all up towards maturity in Christ. Before we have the chance to respond, I want to share a real encouragement of God's help that I've received through the help of a friend in recent weeks. As a newly accredited minister, I've asked three other Christian guys who I know from various contexts to help me and to walk with me through these next 3 years of formation and discipleship. I'm under no illusion. I cannot carry out my calling alone. I need God's help, and I need the help of godly people around me. And one of these men who is supporting and encouraging me has helped me by giving me a book that contains a very simple but powerful and helpful definition of Christian ministry. Now, this is not a definition of ordained ministry. It doesn't refer to the work of pastors any more than to the calling of all of God's people. It's on the screen. This is what it says. Ministry takes place where divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. What's the significance of this? Well, firstly, as we've so clearly seen in Psalm 124, it is the divine help of the Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, that is the essence and power of Christian ministry and service. The power of love, of care, of forgiveness, of restoration, and of freedom. It's his power to help, not ours, that meets human needs. The second significant thing, as we've already discussed, as we've looked at the collective and corporate dimension of the psalm, is that God chooses to use loving channels through which to work. We ourselves aren't called to be the life-giving water, but he does ask us to make ourselves available to him as loving channels, channels through which his life-giving water can flow. And then thirdly and finally, in all of this, the ultimate purpose of God's help for us is not just the practical impact on the lives of his people, amazing and transformational though that is. The ultimate purpose of our experience of God's help is that God himself is glorified. Praise be to the Lord, as the psalmist says in verse 6. And so we come collectively before God, having encountered his word and with an opportunity to respond to it. In a moment, we're going to be having a time of communion, a community response. And that's an opportunity for us to respond in praise and thanksgiving, to respond in humility and surrender, to respond in action and obedience. But I believe for some of us, however, God may also be calling us to respond in other ways as well. It may be that this morning God is prompting you about your potential to be a loving channel and is prompting you in His strength to reach out to somebody else, either inside the church or outside, to help meet their need. And if that's the case, I just really want to encourage you to talk to God more about that, and then whatever He tells you, do that in response. Maybe it's something else, however. Maybe you're going through a tough time and you're realizing actually that you're trying to battle through that on your own. Perhaps you feel under attack, in danger of being swept away, or maybe trapped, and you need protection and rescue. And if that's you, can I encourage you to cry out to God for His help, but perhaps also to ask someone to stand alongside you too? Perhaps ask them to pray for you. Perhaps ask them to check in with you next weekend to see how you've been doing. If you need something practical, ask them for help. If that's you, but you're not sure who you might ask about that, then please feel free to ask me after the service. I'll be available at the back, as will one or two others, and be very happy just to listen and to pray with you. Because we're not called to walk the long obedience in the same direction on our own. Just perhaps, actually, life's been okay. You have been managing on your own, and you've told yourself that you can keep going by being self-sufficient, by being strong, and actually you don't really need anybody's help at all. Perhaps you've got this far pretty much operating like that. But maybe you're just starting to realize that perhaps that has its limitations, and society's self-sufficiency mantra isn't quite true. Perhaps you're recognizing actually you're caught in sin's snare and you want to be set free. And if that's you, again, there's an opportunity after the service to come and be prayed for and to receive forgiveness and release. We all need help, each and every one of us. We need God's help. We need each other's help. So let's not leave here this morning without acknowledging and acting on that. So, Beatles or Bible? I think they're both pretty good, actually. But there's only really one that we can turn to for help. If the Lord had not been on our side, if the Lord had not been on our side. Praise be to the Lord. The snare has been broken and we've escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.